Welcome to HealthTech Matters, a podcast where we talk to healthcare startup founders, product managers, and designers, and discuss current trends in building great healthcare products. I'm your host, Mary, and today we're going to talk about sound analytics in healthcare, data privacy, and enterprise sales. Welcome our guest, Wayne West, founder of Vocalytics, enterprise-grade voice and sound analytics platform built for the physical world, including healthcare facilities. Stay tuned. Could you please tell me more about your background and what was before Vocalytics and why you decided to start it?
So I've been a serial entrepreneur for most of my career. I've taken the last probably 10 years or so, and I've had a couple of my own ventures, been a part of some hyper growth, got a growth stage ventures as well. So I've seen and experienced that 0 to 1 and also the 1 to 2 stage of business. And with my last company taking cameras and really making them intelligent with our software for commercial real estate and retail real estate applications like for malls, we took their dumb security cameras. We made them smart with our software running on them. And then we also worked in the retail space with T-Mobile, H&M, Walmart, a handful of other enterprise clients. We could get even more granular with the insights through pixels and frames from their existing cameras with our software for merchandising and consumer behavior, demographics, all of that completely anonymously right there on the edge. So I learned a ton from that experience, and I was traveling about 160 days a year, but really had built the playbook on how to integrate with physical world infrastructure, specifically CCTV cameras. Learned about the limitations of doing so, some of the pitfalls, the hurdles. Not every retail store that's going to have the same connectivity and infrastructure as a retail mall would, or mall property, or other commercial real estate properties, and vice versa as well. So because I'd learned that playbook and I realized a way to unlock dark assets, we made sense of all those pixels and frames for all that behavioral intelligence through video, realizing that I'm going to call it close to 95% of every security camera in the wild, every single one that's out there in the world. So there's over 2 billion today deployed. Realized that most of them have a microphone embedded in them. They're either not turned on or they're not leveraged because they're too far away. So I asked myself the question and really asked the team this question, is there a way to integrate with those same cameras, but instead of looking at the pixels and the frames, the video, can we look at the audio and can we make sense of it? Does the software technology exist to make sense of sound from any embedded connected microphone? The more we looked into it, outside of security cameras, there's smart speakers. There's more than 100 million of them deployed in the wild today. And then you also look at, even in hospitals, there's a call button at the bedside to call the nursing station, technically a connected microphone. And then going even beyond that, you've got fast food drive-throughs and all the other microphones, from wearables to mobile devices. And I realized very quickly that microphones are cost-effective. They're very inexpensive. They're very high-performing, even for the smallest ones. They're tiny and they're discreet as well. And they're really everywhere. Let's look at some problems and some pain points that certain sectors have got relationships with. And let's dive deep into the customer development and really see if we can make sense of sound. We know we can do it technologically. And the software is also there as well. Let's bring that to enterprise, as that's most of my background. So we've built an enterprise SaaS company. And when I say SaaS, most people hear that as software as a service. I would say even as late as last week, are starting to coin and run with sound as a sensor. So we are a sound intelligence company that is able to interpret more than 500 unique sound profiles right there on the device in real time. And if necessary, even send an alert out for critical intervention. It could be coughing, it could be gunshots, it could be a COPD episode that's occurring in real time, and sending an alert out to the nursing station for critical care intervention. So no longer does grandma have to wait 4 to 6 minutes, even in California. Those are the stats for when she actually is able to either reach her life alert device or a nurse finally hears her calls for help. Now we're actually dispatching that assistance in real time. So in under a minute, we're making sure that she's doing well and she's healthy and she's fine.
So you were working on business development side in a previous company, correct?
I was the global head of business development and the first key hire actually brought into the company. And so when you're in sales, when you're in business development at that stage of business, obviously selling the value and the vision is important and guiding that relationship. Yeah. But more importantly, as an entrepreneur at that stage, it's also about helping to guide and understanding the pain points through customer developments and helping to guide the product as well. Having those early conversations with customers to showcase the value and what we can do for them, while also understanding to dig deep into those executive conversations and not just dig deep into what are the problems that you're having, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, but specifically, what are the pain points that are driving those problems? And then articulating that to our engineering teams to build a product that's actually solving those pain points, not those surface problems. So relaying that message to the engineering team externally is very business development focused, but internally translating that to an engineering team and helping to lead the product development as well has always been a strong suit of mine as well.
What advice would you give to a healthcare startup founder, and what advice should they ignore?
Going back to the inception of Vocalytics and the idea where it came from, my first venture almost 10 years ago, I joined a small startup incubator program in Southern California. And the first thing they teach you in quote unquote startup school is listen to your customer. So I would absolutely emphasize the importance of listening. And not just listening to everything, as every investor, every VC, every angel, every customer, every different type of customer from multiple sides of the business, every consumer, everyone and their grandma, so to speak, is going to have their own two cents. Having essentially 120 customer development interviews in the first 3 weeks of Techstars as a program, I think that's ultimately some of the biggest value that we got.
And it's quite interesting. How did you actually find these pain points, especially in healthcare for your customers? Because you were not directly working with healthcare all the time previously.
Correct. In fact, I have very limited, if any, healthcare background, to be quite honest. And even our team today has a very limited experience and background in healthcare. So ultimately, we decided to really focus on healthcare as a market for us because there's really three things. There's number one, we'd raised an early pre-seed round that had actually closed last March. The other thing that happened last March was this pandemic, which the pandemic is technically a health and healthcare problem or challenge. And there are lots of pain points around the pandemic, not just from the personal protective equipment, the manufacturing, distribution, and protection of workers and individuals, the actual care delivery. Like I mentioned, grandma could be on the floor for 5 minutes before someone's there to actually assist her or help her in that critical moment. Tons of challenges and great problems to solve for, pain points really within healthcare. I've known healthcare is broken, especially in the US. It's very fragmented. And I have always been interested in stepping into the realm, but always honestly been a little bit afraid and shied away. The reason why we decided to jump really headfirst, really dive headfirst into healthcare as a market was, number one, we built a great listening technology. We recognized that the number one way that COVID is spread is through coughing. A cough is a very distinct sound. So when we built this listening technology and we built the sound recognition pipeline, we realized that if we can just recognize coughing, there might be a ton of value we could provide in either a safe return to campus, safe return to work, or even just in a general healthcare environment. We had some interest from Techstars as a startup technology accelerator program. And we'd spoken with a few of their cohorts, decided that the United Healthcare Accelerator Program would be the best suited for us. And if we're going to go into healthcare, if we're going to specifically step into that market, that they would have the best support of anyone else in the industry, being the largest healthcare payer organization in the world, both by revenue and headcount. So suddenly we had the support of the largest payer organization in the world that helped us to really refine what our narrative in healthcare is and the sides of healthcare that we could serve and in what order we can serve them as well. So even just starting out with the narrative of 90% of a payer's costs are driven by 1% of chronic members that have illnesses like COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, or asthma, diabetes, and heart failure being another two. There's really only five total that drive 90% of a payer's cost. So they're very expensive problems to have from chronic users that are very much upper respiratory distress events. Coughing, put simply, wheezing, heavy breathing, clearing the throat, those types of upper respiratory distress events. So we recognized an opportunity. We validated that opportunity across healthcare very quickly with the support of Techstars and United Healthcare. And also my little sister has a chronic illness and she is severely autoimmune. So I also wanted to find a way to keep her safe and healthy. So we've essentially built a platform for essential businesses. That's 30% of essential businesses are healthcare. We built a platform for health, safety, and security of essentially frontline workers for those businesses, leveraging sound as a sensor to provide intelligence for intervention and trends over time.
So could you please describe me a case how Vocalytics helps patients with asthma, let's say?
For us, it's mostly post-diagnostic management, and I wouldn't directly tie us back to the unique individual. I'll say if a child in a home has asthma, we have a connected listening post that's about the same size as a case of AirPods. And obviously, mm-hmm. if you have a connected microphone, we can run our software on it as well. But if you don't have one, we've got a sensor for you. Mm-hmm. If a child has asthma, if an adult has COPD, one in four adults actually suffers from COPD. It's actually the fourth leading cause of death globally. Most of them are undiagnosed. For us, it's more about condition management and filling in the color between the lines, between those gaps in care. So when you see a doctor once a month or once a quarter or however regularly you see a doctor, even if it's only once a day, what happened during the rest of those 24 hours? We can actually monitor that respiratory rate, the wheezing, the breathing patterns, also coughing, clearing of the throats, all those different sounds, all the way through even stepping outside of asthma and stepping more directly into a condition like IBS, we can recognize the flush of a toilet for bowel movements as well, all from a single sensor right there in real time, and then provide that intelligence to the caregiver in that moment. So not necessarily alerting for every unique cough, but if there's an episode, someone's coughing over a certain period of duration in time, beyond a certain severity as well, we have the ability to establish that threshold and then send out an alert.
This brings us to an interesting challenge. Having lots of information, you need to find out which pieces of this information will be of the most interest for the doctor and therefore will be most helpful for the patient. So how do you identify which coughs, let's say, are the ones you should mark as red flags and obviously let the doctor know that something's happening that shouldn't be happening. And how do you understand if that's a fine situation? Yeah, person is coughing, but it happens. So how do you distinguish these two situations, which is too bad and which is fine?
That's a great question. And I would say that our sweet spot as technologists is that we are not doctors. We are not a team of clinicians or physicians. So we're not looking at technology and learning about technology and seeing if it can solve for a given problem. We're technologists solving for that problem that doctors, clinicians, physicians, frankly, don't have the data between those visits. That data doesn't exist. So for us, it's not necessarily about identifying and really establishing what that threshold is. We've built a great technology. We work with our clients and they can understand and they can really determine what that threshold is that we should alert for. So as an example, as a return to work solution, we are working with some contact centers, some call centers within healthcare right now. We're not the ones that will establish when an agent is coughing more than X, then deliver this alert to Y stakeholder. It's our end clients, their occupational health and safety team will establish that threshold of, well, we don't want our workers coughing more than 5 times in a minute. It's very easy for us to establish as a threshold. We don't want a bunch of alerts to go out. We only want them to go out when they've been coughing maybe 5 times in 30 seconds, which doesn't happen quite as frequently as one cough a minute. Mm-hmm. So understanding those moments, we work with our clients and they define those requirements. We are in the process and really socializing this opportunity with more than a handful of leading medical experts from the likes of Johns Hopkins all the way through. We have the founding chief innovation officer from the VA on our advisory board currently. So we are actually forming a medical advisory board to give our clients a little bit more of that guidance. That's one perspective. We built the technology and we pass it off to our clients and they're the ones that operate the software. We haven't built a consultancy business. We've built a service that they can leverage and they can customize and tweak to their requirements as a business, as an organization. And we are moving in that direction of adding more of that medical guidance from an advisory board perspective in-house. But that's where we're at today. We do have, since it is AI, we have to set some parameters for training for a given environment where we'll establish a baseline, call it in a nursing home, when the widget or the sound sensor, the microphone, is in a residence within a senior living center, a nursing home. When it's sitting at the bedside and understanding what grandma's baseline is in the morning when she wakes up, maybe going throughout the day just a little bit around midday, and then understanding that baseline when she goes to bed at night and also her baseline while she's asleep at night. I'll give you another example. Snoring for sleep apnea is another acoustic sound. We're not going to diagnose sleep apnea, just like we're not going to diagnose a COVID cough. But if a cough is expelled into an environment, that actually technically makes it dangerous. Whether you have been diagnosed with COVID or not, it's still dangerous. You're expelling potential contagions into that environment. So we're more a post-diagnostic monitoring platform within healthcare. And even just, I would say, even closer to an environmental sensor, like an air quality sensor that's always sensing that air quality within that space or that environment, we're sensing all the sounds within that given environment. We're also not tying it back directly to that unique user without their consent. We're sensing in a space just as much as in a skilled nursing facility. It may be the individual that's living in that space, but there's a caregiver that's a doctor, a physician that is in and out of that space. Before COVID and after COVID, there's visitors allowed in that space as well. So if a caregiver walks into a residence room and starts coughing, it's recognized still in our system as an event. We're not going to tie it directly back to the resident. But if it is a caregiver or a visitor that's entering that space, suddenly the space has become contaminated because someone in it is coughing. So we'll send an alert out, and the only guidance, to answer the other part of your question, the only real coaching and guidance we add to that is here's what happens, the event, the classification, this was coughing, this was an episode, whatnot. Here's when it occurred. And also here's how to best prepare yourself going into that environment. We're not here to replace doctors with sounds as a sensor. We're here to help guide them and color in between the lines, between those gaps in care, so they can provide a better care experience to patients.
Thank you for explaining. Could you please tell me more about healthcare facilities such as clinics and hospitals, so they might have some specific needs? And how do you help them? How do you work with these more complicated facilities, I'd say?
Some of the common themes of any healthcare environment is that there's typically a reception or waiting area space. So even every ER waiting room, every clinic has a waiting room. That waiting area, that space, understanding the health, safety, and security of that space. If there's someone coughing in that space, we look at this as an opportunity to protect that space. But also even beyond that, as an energy management solution, sound can also exist to, I'd say, as an alternative to motion sensing. Anyone that listens into this has experienced, they've been sitting in an office at some point, hammering away with work, and all of a sudden the lights shut off because you're not walking around in that space. Then you got to throw your hands back in the chair in the sky and try and trigger that motion sensor to turn the lights back on, maybe heating, cooling, HVAC, whatnot, and potentially other services. Well, I would say imagine a future where there's a sound as a sensor device in that given environment that is completely passively just monitoring the ambient decibel levels. Could be as simple as keyboard clicks, types, anything like that, that no longer shuts the light and heating and cooling off of that given space, that office, because it actually hears what's occurring within that environment. And one thing I do want to be mindful of and cognizant is that we've built Vocalytics as a platform from the ground up with privacy as one of our fundamental pillars. We don't actually listen in for speech or conversations, as there's just too much private information involved. There's also another reason why we process everything on the edge. So the Amazon Alexa devices that are in most of those households, as they send all the audio up to the cloud for those requests around words and conversations, we work completely differently as we process everything on the device. And the only events that we store are those specific sound events. We actually redact any conversations. So we keep everything safe, secure, anonymous, private, and do all of that processing, all of that intelligence on a tiny little sensor. And we're able to scale up to large office buildings and facilities, ultimately. Not even leveraging our own sensors, but security cameras that are already on the property in common corridors, shutting off the lights when no one's walking around down that specific hallway and lighting them back up as soon as you hear footsteps. We actually tag a conversation as speech and then remove that from the entire audio form, the waveform, the audio file in real time as well.
If you could write anything on a billboard, what would that be?
Oh, that's a great question. I got this one from my brother, so maybe I'll coin this. There's good days and there's learning days.
Oh, wow. This one is actually very good. Almost can imagine this hanging somewhere in your room.
I grew up as a Boy Scout and the motto is be prepared.
You actually stolen my question, because I was indeed thinking of asking you about privacy, because this one is quite understandable concern when you are monitoring conversation in your room. So your target customer profile is a big organization looking for voice analytics, or who else it might be?
It's just say sounds. Analytics and sound intelligence. And we focus on the most vital and the most essential businesses Today, we're starting out with the 30% of those that exist in healthcare, though many of those also exist for essential businesses in warehouses and distribution centers. Again, we're starting out with the front lines of vital, essential businesses and really protecting those essential workers and enabling them to deliver better care in those environments and have a better working experience. So for us, it's a little bit about workforce, I'd say less optimization, more so adding to helping them do a better job with their jobs, not replacing that essential worker, but augmenting them, arming them with actionable intelligence. If there's glass breaking in grandma's room within a senior care facility, maybe she dropped her coffee cup, and let's send an alert out in real time before grandma steps on the broken glass, maybe slips and falls and has a more severe and traumatic event. Let's also make sure that that alert is delivered out to the care teams so they can intervene in real time to ensure that that mess and that safety hazard is cleaned appropriately in a timely fashion. But more importantly, we'll recognize that as glass breaking so that that nurse or that caregiver can walk into that environment with that knowledge of, I know what needs to be done.
That's very interesting. Could you please tell me more about your product development processes? Because you've mentioned, for example, a library of sounds. So there are hundreds of different sounds. So you must have taken your time to understand which sound is important to you. For example, broken glass. You need to work with a patient, work with a user to understand that this case can happen and you should identify the sound and you should send an alert.
That's a great question too. And I think taking a step back from the direct product developments, we made a choice very early as a business that we wanted to be an enterprise SaaS solution. I learned from my last venture that if you don't have a widget or something that is a piece of hardware, it can be very difficult to integrate with especially enterprise level passing security audits for information security, getting across those hoops all the way through sharing of information, privacy, who owns what data, all of that. So there's lots of challenges to be just completely a software company. Having an extension, not necessarily becoming a hardware company, but having an extension to say, if you don't have a listening post, we've got one for you. But if you have one, that's great. We'll plug in with it. We've found that there's a lot of strengths to differentiating ourselves as a business in the market. That's number one. Number two, it also gives us an ability to rapidly get off the ground. So there's no hurdles at that last mile of the sales cycle when we have a business unit, a stakeholder that's bought in, a budget, a statement of work, the scope has already been, that's already been negotiated and navigated. We already understand the terms of that deal. And then it just comes to plugging it in. You like what we're doing? You find value in this intelligence? Cool. Well, I can plug this little device in right now. You tell me where to stick it on the wall and we'll set up the back end. But essentially, it'll start processing as soon as we wire up the back ends. We don't want to recreate the Tableaus or the Power BIs, the dashboards and the visualization tools that are already used across industry. And also in healthcare, there's lots of those systems from a Cerner or an Epic. They're great services as platforms where information can be centralized as a repository. So everything that we do, our intelligence is all driven through APIs to pass our intelligence through to your existing systems. So your physicians, clinicians, workforce management, facilities managers, so they can visualize it within a window that they're accustomed to. And this is actually just helping as an additional data set for better decision-making on their ends, not becoming a nuisance as a tab to get lost in the background and likely unplugged. So this was a great way to test that model. And it's been a great opportunity for us. Our customers are actually requesting our little widget as well. So there's validation in that rapid deployment. And then on the other side of it is we don't want to change behavior. We want to augment the already existing data points that you're aggregating around an environment. Product development for us started out with, can we do sound as a sensor? Can we do this? And we started this probably 2 years ago in sourcing the technologies, doing the market intelligence research, understanding connected microphones from a hardware perspective. Can we plug in with them? How do we do this at scale? And then also on a software side, from echo and noise cancellation to DSP and adaptive beamforming, all these acoustic software cleanup technologies that have become incredibly lightweight over the years. We're actually running all of that in tiny ML right there on the edge on a tiny little device in real time. We didn't start out with a library of 500 sounds. We started out with coughing. And our first stab into can we model a cough and have our algorithms detect what a cough sounds like in real time from a microphone. We actually launched a survey on our website last March. We can actually classify different heuristics of a cough, which that's actually how we collected the first 1,000 or so coughs. And then we have augmented that data set with open data sets available online. We've augmented it with YouTube videos, just stripping the audio. We've augmented it with several different ways, but essentially we're actually using vision on the waveform to determine many of these heuristics. So even though you think audio and sound, it's not your traditional audio analytics technology. We have a lot of that proprietary to us running all right there, tiny ML right on the edge.
So you are quite new to healthcare. What was your biggest challenge while starting working with healthcare facilities and in general on problems that occur a lot in relation to the healthcare?
The problem wasn't detecting or monitoring coughs or wheezing or breathing. Those are all distinct sounds that we can recognize, like glass breaking or gunshots and the myriad of others. It wasn't so much in the technology. It was about the understanding in who's going to pay for it. And ultimately, who in industry is ripe for our technology? Ultimately, down the line, becoming prescriptive from payers to say, you go into your doctor and your doctor, hey, I've woken up a few times in the middle of the night. I've gotten complaints from my partner that I snore. Rather than going in for an expensive and time-consuming sleep study, imagine a day where your payer sends you a tiny little device that your payer has actually paid us for, and it's just listening at the bedside for patterns in sleep apnea that either the payer or the provider, I think specifically your doctor, or even working with a pulmonologist to tune the algorithm for your specific sleep patterns from a tiny little lightweight device. Just go about your day, go to bed, wake up, go to bed, wake up. And ideally after 48 hours, you've got a running baseline of results of what degree of sleep apnea you have. And your doctor can take that information and make an educated decision on your next care path. What they're going to do next for your health to help you sleep better, to help you snore less, whether it's prescribing a CPAP machine and ultimately using our widget to ensure that you're actually using the CPAP machine, all the way through potentially offering up surgery as a potential solution for any blockages in airways, any pathways. All this stuff can be understood from sounds. Again, not using our software to diagnose sleep apnea, but providing that level of intelligence that, hey, there was an anomaly that went beyond this. And rather than going the FDA route of clearance for diagnostics, we'd rather be either post-diagnostics or that pre-diagnostic source of information to pass it along to your doctor that you trust at the end of the day. And they're actually making that diagnosis with the data that we've been able to collect, with the health data that we've been able to collect at that point.
So your buyer is a patient or a doctor?
So our buyer is a facility. We're not focused on individuals whatsoever today. It's too difficult for us to have a direct-to-consumer model to try and sell to an individual in their home. There's no way for us to effectively do that at scale. We haven't come up with a model that scales into that just yet, which is why we focus on facilities where a third of all COVID morbidities are within nursing homes and senior living homes. So we also want to help to protect those populations. It's easier for us to go to a group that owns several care facilities, sell to that group, and have that group install these widgets or our service, our platform, into each one of those residences. So if it's one facility we sell into and we've acquired 24, essentially it's one customer we're servicing, but we've acquired 24 rooms or spaces, 24, 25, could be 100 rooms or spaces. We'd rather sell into a facility-driven environment today than going direct to the consumer. Tomorrow, beyond proving the efficacy and scaling these initial deployments within a skilled nursing, assisted living, LTSS, senior living environments within those facilities. So today our customer is a facility. Tomorrow our customer is insurance, absolutely.
And I have a few first fire questions to you. So the first one is, what are you skeptical about in healthcare?
Skeptical about? That's a great question. As an entrepreneur, I have to remain skeptical to everything we're doing and everything they're doing. That's within and outside of healthcare. Honestly, telemedicine has been around for a very long time, but it's finally started to pick up in terms of there's lots of chronic populations today and during the pandemic that have not been able to leave their home and visit a doctor. So I think that the pandemic has reached a certain point where telemedicine is here to stay. And it's obviously widespread and rampant throughout healthcare in general. I'm skeptical that every doctor's appointment will appear online through a Zoom call or with a chatbot. I'm very skeptical because there are large populations that still need to see a doctor face to face. That a doctor still, you know, there's so much you can get from a Zoom call, but there's so much you can't get from a Zoom call. That element of presence, understanding and seeing with your own eyes, not through a screen or a camera, but understanding this is how a person reacts when their knee is touched in a certain way. Understanding this is actually what their ear canal looks like inside right now. The other thing I'm skeptical about is remote patient monitoring solutions like wearable devices, a scale, a connected scale you can step on, even motion sensors deployed in a home. Those fantastic solutions have been around for a very long time. And lots of money has gone into building those solutions and funding, ultimately funding those solutions. There's lots of great ecosystems of solutions, but they're very pointed from you need a ton of hardware around a given living space. I truly believe there's just going to be that element of consolidation, and those larger players will eat the smaller players and essentially naturally grow themselves.
If you could only work 2 hours a day and the rest would be done by other people or systems without your help, what would you do?
I'd work on culture and growth and becoming a more effective communicator and conveying value and ultimately vision to those that are supporting the business. I'd focus on caring about the people rather than caring specifically about the technology.
Could you unwrap a bit more?
I think I'd probably spend more time checking in on individuals in the business and understanding to what degree they feel like they're growing or they're motivated. And honestly, as a leader within my organization, within Vocalytics, within other businesses over the past, it's really easy to say, hire slow, fire fast. That's been a lot of the mentality for startups in general. And call it against the grain just a bit when I believe that you exhaust more resources in sourcing a replacement for that individual, getting that replacement screened and up to speed and performing at a level that the previous individual was, then you could have actually just retained that individual and getting them growing on a different side of the business, maybe something that they appreciate or are more motivated towards doing in that moment. Spending those 2 hours in believing and really assessing that that individual is in the right spot for them would be incredibly important to me.
That's a great answer, because it's such a complicated question. We are trying to optimize for for the amount of work we can do in a day and not for the time. So we are trying to work more and do more, obviously, but not always in a more efficient way, unfortunately.
Time is such an interesting concept, because as a resource, you can always make more money, raise more capital. Money's all around us. There's where there's a will, there's a way, so to speak. Time, though, is the only finite resource that we have as humans, as mortals. There's this hard start and a hard stop. And it's not just about the length of the journey, it's about the quality of the journey as well.
Talking about the quality of the journey, in the last 5 years, what new belief or behavior or habit has most improved your life?
Most specifically in the last 5 years, I'd say one of the most influential pieces that I have adopted over the years definitely is a change in vocabulary. So modifying small words in speech has become incredibly influential throughout my life. I don't know how, when, or why I picked this up, probably 20 years ago, but little bits to say, there's a difference between saying, I want to go to Tahiti, and saying, I'm going to Tahiti. When I say I'm going to Tahiti, you naturally might think, oh, well, that's great. Fantastic. When are you leaving? How long are you staying? What's on the agenda? How long are you going for? Is it an occasion? What's going on? The way I just framed it, it's easy enough for me to respond with, I'm not going today. I'm not going tomorrow, but I know it's a place I want to go. So I'm crystallizing it by framing it as I'm going to Tahiti. I don't have to go tomorrow to say I'm going. I'm still on that journey. Having goals is incredibly important.
I can totally relate to that. This way or that way, I will reach my goal, but it doesn't matter. It will be today or tomorrow. What matters is the direction and the progress. So thank you for taking your time. And it was really a great pleasure to talk to you and to get to know more about Vocalytics.